Are you guys ready to study the Bible? Amen. Have you been blessed yet? Praise God, amen. We are so glad to be here this morning. I'm personally glad. I am thankful because about 9 years ago, or about, I would say 9 years ago, I was not an Adventist. My life was not going the right way, but I had a mom who was on her knees praying for her children the majority of the time. The majority of us were not in any religious path. We were just partying and throwing our lives away and wasting our lives in the things of the world. But I am thankful that I am here this morning. It is an answered prayer, and I'm thankful that my mom prayed for me. And so if you have children that have left the church, if you have children that are not so spiritual, let me tell you something. Continue to get on your knees and pray and agonize for them. Amen. And even if your children are here in church, continue to pray for them so that they will not leave. Amen. And I want to thank all the young people that participate. I want to thank the youth choir. I want to thank Michelle. I am so glad that young people are taking leadership positions. Amen. And they are willing to step up and say, you know what? This is my church. Young people, please do not lose this calling. God is calling you to fill the positions of the pastors and the elders and the deacons. God wants to use you to finish his work. Amen. And I am so glad to be here. But you know what? I want to start with a message this morning. The title of my message this morning is called The Two Most Beautiful Pictures. And I brought this video for a reason. You know, many people have a misunderstanding of God's character. Many people have a misunderstanding of God's character. Some people see God as a God of the Old Testament, like many people call it. The God of the Old Testament, an angry God. A God who is always angry at us, is waiting for us to commit a mistake, and boom, he's going to do something. He's just waiting for Pastor Sam. Oh, Pastor Sam, I just want you to just fall down. I want you to do something and get in your case. I'm going to punish you. We see, a lot of people have this picture of a God who is angry, who is furious, and wants to destroy us. He wants to send fire. And, you know, I mean, many people that are quote-unquote, they call themselves Christians, go around telling people, you know what? If you don't turn from your sins, you're going to burn in hell for eternity. And I know that some of you, I don't want you to raise your hand, but some of you may say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, there's something wrong, because the Bible is very clear in regards to when the Bible says very clearly, he who does not love does not know God, for God is what, everyone? Love. I want you to get that principle in your mind, because that is a very foundational principle in us understanding God's character. It is a very important principle that it tells us that the character of God is the character of what, everyone? Love. He is a loving, merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness. He is a God that is more than willing to give us everything. Amen? God is a God of love. Another principle that we need to understand as we understand God's character is the principle that God does not change. Would you agree with me? The Bible tells us he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, in the book of James, I love James because James tells us that there is not even a shadow of doubt in his character. Amen? That means that whatever God says he is, it is within the boundaries of God's righteousness, God's character. We're not going to go so deep in understanding God's character, because it will take us a long time. But I just want you to understand those two very important principles. The first one is that God is love, and the second one is that God changes not. Correct? Would you say amen to that? So everything that God does will be within his character. The third principle I want you to remember as we study the two most beautiful pictures. The third principle I want you to remember is, I just forgot it. The God is a God of his word. He says he'll do something, he will do it. He will accomplish it. He will finish it. Amen? So, you know, in the Bible, there is many, many characters in the Bible that are actually, what is that word called? They're a type of Christ. Would you agree with me? Can you name any? I'm sorry, Brother Donald? Moses, all right? Moses was a type of Christ. Why? Because God called him to deliver God's people out of Egypt, just like God called Christ to bring his people out of slavery, not from Egypt, but from sin, correct? So in that aspect, Moses was a type of Christ. Also, he was very long-suffering. He was an intercessor between God and the children of Israel, just like Jesus is an intercessor. Any other Bible characters? Joseph. Joseph was a type of Christ in what ways? He was sold for how many? For money. And he was sold into slavery, just like Christ was sold under our sins, correct? He sold, he was betrayed. And Joseph was also a type of Christ. And he was hated by those that were closest to him, correct? His brothers. Well, Christ was hated by his brothers. Amen? So Joseph was a type of Christ. Anybody else? Abraham. Mm-hmm. Abraham was a type of Christ. I was looking for somebody later on after Isaac. Long hair, very strong. Samson. Those were all types. Oh, they were all types of some characteristic of the character who? Of God. So they were all painting a picture, a small picture, a small little detail of the bigger picture, which is the character of God. Would you agree with me? Yes? So everything that was spoken in the past was for our admonition. How do I know that? Go with me to the book of Hebrews, okay? We're going to read Hebrews chapter 1, all right? God was trying to show his children who he really was. He was trying to show them his character. Why? Because Satan has misrepresented God's character. Would you agree with me, yes or no? Now, Satan, or Lucifer, which was called, he was very close to God. So, out of everyone that you can think of, the one that would know God's character more would who? Would be Lucifer. So Lucifer understood the character of God. And so that's why he is able to misrepresent God's character. Okay? So let's go to the book of Hebrews. And we're going to read three verses, verses 1 through 3. And when you're there, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Don't fall asleep, please. Are you guys asleep? No? All right. Let's stay awake. Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. God, who in various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the who? By the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. All right. So here it is. God was trying to, from picture to picture, from person to person, from incident to incident, from place to place, God was trying to demonstrate aspects of his character so that the children of God could get a full picture and a full understanding of who God really was. Would you agree with me? Yes. But the last manifestation, we can say the most beautiful manifestation of God's character, was shown to us
in Christ. We do not see the fullness of God's character in Samson, do we? I hope not. Because Samson was a type of person who what? Was calm at the one, but once you mess with them, what happened? He got something and because he was strong. He beat you up. Do you think God is like that? What about Joseph? Before he was sold, what was he? What type of kid was he? Spoil. You can imagine Joseph going like this to his brothers. You see my new tunic? Yeah, you don't have one of those, do you? See you later. Okay. Back. You see that? Was that Jesus? Was Christ like that? So do you see, there are some aspects that do show a little bit of God's character, but there was other aspects. So if you want to see a true representation of God's character, who you should go to? So in order for you to understand how God acts in the Old Testament, you need to look at Christ. And that's how you interpret Scripture. That's how you interpret God's character. Not through the other pictures. See, many times we say, well, Abraham did this or Moses did this, and so God must do this. No. Because God is love. Christ. Now let's finish verse 2, the last part of verse 2. Has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who he has appointed heirs of all things, through whom he has also made what? The world. So Christ was there at the beginning. Amen. He was the one. He is God. Amen. He is. Not he is a God. He is God. Okay. Who being the brightness of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purchased our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God, who being the brightness of his person, the express image of God. You know, in the New Testament, as far as I know, and I study, this is the only time in the Greek where the word character is used. Character. The express image. Jesus is the character, the express character of God. So if we want to understand God's character, we need to look at who? Jesus. Are you guys ready to look at the most beautiful pictures of God? Say amen. All right, let's go to the first one. In understanding God's character. Aren't you thankful today for that? Jesus is love. Amen. Let's turn to Genesis. Genesis, and we're reading chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17. Very clear command by God. We all are familiar with it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. God said unto, it says, and the Lord suggested to men, saying, nobody got that one, huh? Phew. God suggested. Thank you. God commanded men, saying. See, it was not a suggestion. In today's society, people are taking the commands of God as just suggestions. Oh, God, that's a good suggestion. But you know what? I'm going to do this. It's better for me. 10 suggestions. They're not suggestions, my brothers and my sisters. They are 10 commandments. And the Lord commanded men, saying, out of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. But out of the tree of the garden of good and evil, you may not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou will surely, what? Very simple, isn't it? What did Adam and, what did Eve do? Disobeyed God, went away from Adam, took the fruit. It was not an apple, by the way, it was fruit. Okay, we don't know what fruit it was. But he took a bite, and then they were separated. Because of what, everyone? Because of sin. Period. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, thine iniquities have separated you from God, and thine sins have caused his face to be hidden from you. It's not that God says, oh, I don't want to see you. What is the picture that we see here in Genesis? When Adam and Eve disobeyed directly the command of God, when Adam and Eve were saying, you know what, God? We don't want to follow you. We want to follow ourselves. We want to be our own gods. We want to make our own decisions. We are going to do whatever we want to do. What did Adam and Eve did? They were disobeying God completely. They were turning their backs to God. And what did God do, everyone? What did God do, everyone? Was he angry? Was he saying, oh, Adam, ooh, you're going to see. You're going to get the belt. Or like my mom used to say, galletitas con chile. Which, you know, when she said that, it didn't mean something good. Okay? You were going to get it. The point is this, my brothers and my sisters, that God was not upset. God was not angry. He was not going, they disobeyed me. The picture that we see of God here is that Jesus came just as all the other days to have a relationship with them, to meet with them face to face. But what happened? Adam and Eve were what? Hiding from God. Here it is, the most beautiful picture in the Bible of who God is. When Adam and Eve had sinned, when they have turned their backs from God, when they were going completely the opposite way of where God was wanting to take them, Jesus came looking for them. Oh, if that doesn't change your life, I don't know what will. This is the most beautiful picture in the Bible. Adam and Eve rejecting God, saying, you don't know God. We want to do our own thing. We want to listen to the serpent more than you. Even though they have no evidence of why they should trust the serpent. You know, Adam and Eve had a choice just like you and I. We have a choice every single morning, every single day in our lives. Adam and Eve had a choice, and they chose not to follow God, yet still God was willing to what? Go up for them. And you know, we have the promise in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, of the beautiful promise of who? The Messiah. Yeah, I asked myself, why was this the very first promise? Because it is the only promise that can save us. It is the only solution. There is no other solution. You can do it on your own. I can do it on my own. We cannot change ourselves. That's why it is the only promise and the most important promise. And it is the second most beautiful picture of God's character. After thousands and thousands and thousands of years that people had been rebelling against God, and God was trying to draw them near to them, and God was trying to show them his character, God was trying to be loving and compassionate, and he was saying, this is who I am. And they were saying, you know what? We don't want you. We want a king. We don't want you. We want our passions. We want our desires. We want our own gods. And many of us are still doing the same thing. Many of us are still seeking for our own gods instead of surrendering to the God of love. Here it is, the most beautiful picture. Go with me to the Gospels, and we're going to Matthew chapter 27. We don't have time. I need to be done here. But in every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have this account of Jesus being taken to the court of Pilate after being judged by Caiaphas, correct? Here it is. Jesus is taken to Pilate. Why were the children of Israel, why were the priests and the Pharisees, why were they taking Jesus to Pilate? Does anybody know? Okay. To be killed, correct? The reason why they couldn't do it themselves is because they were under the yoke of what? the Roman yoke. So they couldn't pass the death penalty until a Roman official had what? Had given them authority. Okay, that's why they took Jesus to Pilate. Here it is. They take him to Pilate. And we know the story. Pilate questions him. But I want you to read Matthew 27, verse 18. Matthew 27, verse 18. We're going to get a little picture here of what's going on. Here it is. For thousands of years, God has been trying to draw his people to him, and his people have been pushing away from God, correct? God is trying to show his character, and the people of God are trying to block their eyes from the true representation of God. Here it is. The greatest manifestation, God himself in the flesh, before them. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 27, verse 7, that Pilate knew, for he knew that they had handed him over because of what, everyone? Envy. Jealousy. They hated Jesus. And I hope that you or I, we don't come to that point in our Christian experience, my brothers and my sisters, where we are envy, where we envy God, where we despise God to that point. My brothers and my sisters, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were so dark. Even though they had all the knowledge up here, even though they knew about the Messiah, they couldn't see Jesus. They had blocked their minds completely. They didn't want to hear about God. They didn't want to hear Jesus speak. All they wanted to do is silence him forever. And that's why they took him to Pilate. They wanted to kill him. I want you to go to John with me. And I want you to read this. I was studying this last night, and I was reading in the book, Desire of Ages. I don't know how many of you have that book, but it's one of my personal favorites. And on chapter 77, in regards to Pilate, you know, Jesus and Pilate's court. Oh, man, this just, listen to this. Chapter 19, I believe it is. Chapter 19. And I'm sorry, chapter 18, just the chapter before that. We are going to chapter 19, but chapter 18, this is the one I want to bring out. Look at verse 28 and 29. Okay. Then they led up Jesus to Caiaphas, and it was early in the morning. But look at this, look at this. Please read this with me. Chapter 18, verse 28. I don't want to. Everybody is there? Amen? Then they led Jesus to Caiaphas, and it was early in the morning, but they themselves did not go in. Why? They did not what? Lest they should be what? Defile and not partake of the Passover feast. Now, I want you to think just for a second. I want you to use your imagination. Here's the Pharisees. Here's the Sadducees. Here are the religious leaders, those who knew and understood God and his law. They taught it to other people. They were teachers of the law. Yet they were willing to kill the Son of God, yet say, no, I don't want to go in through there because I don't want to defile myself. They were killing the real Passover lamb. And they themselves, you know what she says? Ellen White says in the book, The Sorrow of Ages, that at that point, at that moment, the sacrificial system became of no value to them. Because they were willing to kill Jesus, the Son of God, yet they were saying, oh, I want to partake of the Passover. Hypocrisy to the most. Open hypocrisy. They were killing the Son of God, yet they were saying, oh, we're Christians. Hallelujah. Here it is, the second most beautiful picture of God. You know what Pilate did? He tried and tried and tried to deliver Jesus. He didn't want to kill him. He didn't want to do anything. I invite you, go and read those chapters. Go and study the book, Desire of Ages. Oh my goodness, it's so awesome. But let me tell you this. The Pilate's last thing that he wanted to do is he said, oh, I have a bright idea. I'm going to bring this guy. His name is Barabbas. Oh, this is going to be wonderful. This is going to be a great idea. Once I bring Barabbas, then for sure they're going to let go of Jesus. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus had an expression of peace. There was no guilt. Nobody could bring anything bad against him. Because Christ was a man of character, loving. He was always serving other people. So they had nothing against him. But they had everything against who? Barabbas. By the way, I don't know how many of you knew this, but Barabbas, just a few weeks earlier, was taken by the Sanhedrin to Pilate as well. Because Barabbas was claiming to be the Christ. So here it is. A false Christ and the real Christ. And Pilate says, oh, this is going to work. There's no way they're not going to. Here is Barabbas. You guys know who he is. He was a murderer and he was a stealer. By the way, did you know what Barabbas did? Barabbas thought that he was divinely inspired to steal whatever he wanted at whatever cost. Okay, even if it meant killing somebody to further God's kingdom. Okay, he wanted to break the yoke of the Roman Empire by force. Is that Christ? No. Even Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. He told Pilate this. He said, my kingdom is not of this. If it was of this world, then my servants would what? Fight for me. But my kingdom is not from hence. It's not from here. This is now how I'm going to bring God's kingdom to happen. I'm not going to do it by force. Amen? So here it is. Pilate comes out and he says, who do you want? Barabbas or Jesus, which you call the Christ? What was the answer of the multitudes, my brothers and my sisters? Barabbas. Barabbas. We want Barabbas. Pilate was taken and he said, what would you have me do with him? Crucify him. Crucify him. At that second, at that point, Jesus could have said, these people don't want me here. I am leaving. Jesus could have shown forth his glory and everyone would have either died, bowed down, ran. Here it is, the most beautiful picture. Even though God's people were rejecting him, Christ still went to the cross. Jesus still went through all the pain and the suffering for you and for me. If that does not move you, if that does not touch your heart, I don't know what will. They were choosing Barabbas. They were choosing the false Christ. Yet Christ was saying, I still love you. I still want to be with you. I still want to be part of you. Amen. Those are the two most beautiful pictures in the Bible. I'm going to invite the youth choir to come forth to sing their last song. And as they sing, please meditate upon the words of the song. And then I will finish with the last word. Let's never forget what Jesus has done for us. Amen. And if you feel like you've drawn away from Jesus, please go back and study those chapters that are so meaningful. And let God speak to you and to your heart. I'm going to invite the youth choir to come forward. And they're going to sing a song for us. And then right after that, what we want to do is we want to have a special prayer. Pastor Jones, Pastor San, myself, and if the elders want to join us, we want to have it a specific prayer for the young people. So please do not leave right after the song. We will do that. We will finish with a prayer for the young people. And if the young people, once the youth choir is done, can come forth, and then we will do that.
Table.